Here comes Chaudhry, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chaudhry flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chaudhry goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live at the greatest furniture store in the United States. I'm pointing it out right now. Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Thank you to, it was a beautiful Father's Day here. They did a great job, and they've been in business since 1960. They got it going on. It's a Pag Meter, Matty J. Nothing like it in California.
Locally owned, locally operated, fantastic showroom. Best I've ever seen.
The best, and you said it just perfectly. Locally owned. We love local. You and I are the local kings around here.
We are, and we're so local that a lot of times our own local base constituency gets a little critical, too critical at that point. But, hey, sometimes you're going to say something, and they're not going to exactly get what you're trying to say, and then they're going to go off the rails, and then you're going to reel them back in, Pag Meter.
No question about it. I do want to give a little Popolo's Pizza over on Nice and Palm. You know what? This is great pizza.
Anytime you can go take the pizza out, bring it on the road, have Senior Bobby come on his way over, open up the box 15, 20 minutes later, and it feels like it's fresh out of the oven with some of the greatest hand-rolled dough in the business.
You know, he picks up 5 pizzas, but somehow he only brings 4 back because he eats one on the way. I know Bobby's game now.
Well, or that he's got a moonlighting job. He's delivering pizzas on the side, which he might be. We're not sure.
But come on over here and try out the Popolo's Pizza here at Fashion Furniture, the headquarters for the best recliners in the land. Right?
Yes, sir.
Matt, we got a lot to talk about.
Sure,
we're
going
to talk all-star soccer today. We got the big four games in Lindsay this weekend. Overall, the city-county all-star, it's 2-2 this year. Baseball, football, the city won. Volleyball and softball, the county one. We're 2-2.
Yeah, and I'd like to dedicate half the show at least to what I believe was one of the greatest football all-star games since I've been alive. And that was the city-county football all-star game. It was one of the great contests, came right down to the very end, and there was a lot of ebb and flow of that football game that we'll talk about today. And there was also a lot of great performances, but there was also a lot of little questionable things that happened from a coaching standpoint and some of the official calls that we thought, what happened there? Interesting game.
Did you get the scoop on some of those official calls?
I got nothing. Zero. But I do have a take. So we can talk about that a little bit later. But that wasn't that a fabulous all-star game. We called it on radio. And typically, these all-star games, after a while, one team gets going and scores a little bit, and you just realize the game's over. This game was a hotly contested challenge for both sides, and it was perfect. It was a little interesting, too, with the players that did show up, but then one of the all-stars that's a college Division I guy played only a quarter and a half. The other guy from the county, the all-star that's going off to another big Division I college football program, he didn't play, but yet he practiced, and we expected to see him, and he didn't show up. Those are questions that I don't have. I leave that area for the Pag Meter to try to figure out why those players. We had some ideas, but we don't know. We're talking about Jalen Cropper, while he didn't play for the county all-star team.
Well, you and I broadcasted the game on 790, the Deuce. I think you and I have been broadcasting for a long, long time. I mean, I'm talking
games.
Games. That was our best, finest work, and no one heard us. 790 at night just goes fizzles out. We didn't know how to work the app. I'm sorry, everybody, people that were emailing in. How do we get a hold of you guys? It was our best work, Matt.
The fans that were in the home side from about a 25-foot circle around us, perfect circle, or a perfect box, if you will, they got some of the most riveting, great call of athletic endeavors in the history of sport. It really was. And I must hand it to you. There's times when you and I are doing games and we're in a rhythm. That might have been some of the best rhythm between you and I.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like award-winning, but unfortunately most of that or all of that probably was on the cutting room floor. No one got a chance to experience it. But in my memory, in my lifetime, that was a clean a production as you and I have ever put on.
No question. And, Bobby, did they record that at all? Do they record that? They don't even record it either. So you got to put that down with when you and I did the Valley Championship of Clovis Baseball versus Bullard at Bullard when we had to do it on our cell phones.
We did the game on our cell phones.
I think this has got to go right with it. When we did a great job and no one heard us, that was great because we had no phone line, and we still did the game on our cell phones.
But that game, the baseball championship game, Bullard and Clovis High, brought to you on cell phones, that was more of a challenge for you and I to find the proper spot to do the game because people are looking at you and I on our phone the entire time. One instance, I almost got in a physical match with a fan who yelled at me about, you're missing a good game. Get off your phone! And I had to yell back at him, I'm on my phone. I'm calling the game on radio. But
literally during the pitch, the 2-1 pitch.
The Pepsi hot dog I spilled over my brand new polo shirt as I reached down and I turned my hand the same time I'm reaching down to pick up my notes because I had the phone in one hand, I had my hot dog, my Pepsi in the other hand, and I had my notes on my broadcast color notes on each individual batter and their batting averages and everything, and I had to read and try to multitask. That was a mess. And then we went into to get the best reception and the quiet because it was a windy day. You and I brought our cell phones, and the Bullard team, thank you, let us get into the dugout. That lasted about a half inning because the players in the dugout are laughing at us.
Yeah, they're like, calling. What are these guys on the phone for?
Yeah, in their dugout. Everything about that was a comedy show. I thought a great football game or a great athletic contest we called in that same type of setup was when we called San Francisco City College, Fresno City College, in a great matchup here in town. We called that football game on our cell phones.
Yeah, that was another Tony Caviglia going, yeah, we got a phone line up in that Ratcliffe Stadium. We went up there. Tony, there's no phone line. Really? Boy, I thought there was. Here we go with the cell phone.
No, this was a beautiful production at the City County All-Star Game. We had a table. We had everything set up. We had regular headphones on. For you and I, for our purposes,
we practiced.
We felt like we were, we've arrived. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we were probably, I don't know, it sounds so braggadocious. I'm just a real listener of radio. It was arguably, for anyone that was really there next to us, we got so many compliments. That was better than anything that Fresno State, a college Division I on CBS sports game, we were on top of the talent in talking about the football game with as good as energy, with our comedic expertise, we nailed it. No one listened.
And we grew up with these players from Trent Hopkins. And the question, last play of the game, it was fourth down with, 8 seconds to go. So the county down by 2 points, and they're going to go for the win. They're going to go for a field goal. Here's two things. When you're going to do a city-county all-star and bring some players in, you might want to think about getting the kicker because the county had no kicker, and Trent Hopkins never kicked in his life. And he lines up to kick the winning field goal at the end of the game. We're like, why wouldn't you put the ball in the hands of the best quarterback we've ever had in Central Section history? They let him kick it, and he kicked it about midpoint. It would have been nice in soccer, low, left side, might have scored.
Yeah. He missed
that
it.
Was a horrible decision on the county. Whoever
it
came
really
up with
was.
An idea.
The
was
first decision is what we said on air, which is, let me get this straight. You get 45 football players on each roster. You couldn't find one kicker. There's not one high school kicker around the county. The city kicker wasn't much better, but around the county, you couldn't find one that would have accepted, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I don't understand how you have an all-star game, but you don't go after the best available kicker. Maybe they did, but he certainly wasn't on the roster. They had no kicker.
Absolutely zero kicker.
And knowing that, but okay. That's a tactical decision. Doesn't that tell you automatically that
going for two?
We're always going to go for two with Trent Hopkins anyway as our quarterback. What's it matter? And then you decide at the most pivotal moment of the game, we're going to unleash. Now, he did kick an extra point that kind of squeaked in halfway sideways. It was good, so maybe they felt they could get it in. I certainly was waiting, as I'm sure the county or the city was waiting. Oh, boy, we got one play. We got to stop what Trent Tompkins could potentially do to us here.
Well, you've coached this game twice. You know how hard it is to find the snapper, the offensive line to block for an extra point. The other one we got to change. I want you on the rules committee.
Yeah, not going to happen.
These guys have five practices. That's it. Five to put on a game, to put on an offense. And both teams are blitzing at will.
Yeah.
We've got to look at that. I mean, this offensive line, guys, I've had five practices, and four we didn't really do much but walk around.
Yeah.
You want me to go on a scheme to stop a blitz?
Yeah. Both the city and county took full advantage. Where the county, though, I think the county brought pressure on every down. And if you're trying to game plan with a bunch of kids that you've never coached with, and you try to put a ragtag deal, and you say five practices, but inevitably everybody misses one. They've got some graduation function or something they have to go to. So you essentially have
a week.
Yeah, you've got maybe, if you're lucky, about 8 hours of real work to try to put together a game plan and get people up with the snap count and what they're supposed to do when they block who and where do they go on what blitz group or whatever. But you're allowed to bring pressure from every angle. So blitz pickup, it takes a while to get that set. That's non-existent. You're allowed to block punts, block field goals, harass kickers.
And you wonder why it's a low-scoring game.
And you wonder why the most prolific football player in the history of our valley can't generate as much offense at the quarterback position. He's got to learn the routes. He's got to learn receivers. He's got to get timing. And let alone he's got to worry about a nine-man pressure in his face. Hey. Fix the rules. Holy cow. Okay, you know you got me going. Of course, once again, except that you sat in our section, nobody heard us on the radio except you and I and the 26 people that were giving us thumbs up on all of our call on that radio. That was the best radio broadcast that nobody heard in the history of radio, television, or any form of media.
Usually you exaggerate, but I think you're right.
I want my SB.
We know those kids. We've seen them play since sophomore year. We know everybody out there.
That's right.
Now, the other gripe I have is you mentioned Jalen Crawford didn't play, but he practiced.
Yes.
And back to the city-county committee, you got to have 10 alternates. Just put, if you're going to have 35, 45, whatever it is, add an extra 10.
Exactly.
Because that's not fair. Jalen Crawford didn't play, and I'm sure he knew right from the get-go, I'm just going to practice, get some reps in, and I'm not playing. And even Josh Kelly quit at halftime. Someone else, he took a spot.
Yeah.
Someone else might have want to play.
Yeah.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right. City had Edison running back, McKinley Lee, but he just was in playing clothes. Saving himself for Fresno State, that's going to be a long wait because he's not coming in to play right away. Guys who get and take their acceptance letter and go to a practice or two or don't go to practice, either they should be given a shirt right away and say, look, here's your shirt because you were honored. The coaches voted you in. You're an all-star. Don't come to practice. Don't do anything. We're going to the 47th guy on our roster. Instead of waiting and waiting until it seems like kickoff, and then you don't play because somebody, whether it was a parent, which we know that goes on, whether it was a college, which I don't believe really goes on as much as the kids say it is, but then they go out and they don't play. You have to have alternates fully ready to go. So how about this concept? Sign 50 kids.
Yeah.
And by practice three, if you completed all three practices, you're eligible to play. You other eight guys who didn't make it, sorry. Apple on a roadmap, get your tail off. You're off the team.
Now, maybe the city-county committee, and you guys could call in 844-940-ESPN. Maybe they say, well, Pag Meter and Matty J, we only have enough for 35 or 40 uniforms. We can't – our budget's not in there for 55 players. You're going to – a lot of them are not even going to show up, though. I get the photo and the team, and then they're gone.
I think that you're allowed 45. If I'm wrong,
well,
maybe 40.
Make it 50.
Whatever.
Yeah.
How about let's just make it 45? Sign up 55. I've been involved in this for a long time, as you have. 10 are going to automatically excuse themselves.
Lack of participation,
yeah. Not showing up for practice, an executive decision made in the household about you only get one quarter of play because I don't want you to somehow mysteriously get damaged before you go off to college. That's, to me, is the biggest concern I have for the game. This concept of what are you going to get ready to do? Well, what do? Well, you're a student. Love it. What's your other thing? I am a football player. The chances of you getting hurt are already there. So let me think. You're going to try to play the roulette wheel. I don't want to play that game because it's one more chance to get hurt. You might get hurt twisting an ankle. I got one of my guys just got whacked over at the stadium just running routes, and he rolled his ankle. Take the injury thing out of the game. You either play the game because you love the game, because you want to be a part of such a great city-county experience, or don't play the game. Don't try to play some type of gamesmanship about, well, if I maybe sneak into one, I might get a jersey. You're either playing the game or you're not.
Trent Tompkins played in the game.
Doggone right.
Right?
Doggone right.
He's I don't understand. You're absolutely right.
As you said before, okay, going way back in time, both Tevin McDonald and TJ McDonald, five-star recruited athlete out of Edison High School, plays for the Miami Dolphins right now, was an all-everything American at USC. He played in the game. I think his dad knew a little something about the game, too, as the rest of us coaches. We were honored, and we felt very privileged for him to put on a show in front of a high school audience one more time.
It's an excuse, right?
It's excuse. Absolute excuse.
Let's take a break. Come
soft.
Up.
Come soft in. Group of people that yeah. we're raising up in this great state of California. I think it's going south or north, whichever way you want to go, but it's going somewhere in a hurry, and I don't like what's happening.
Let's take a break. This is your Rice Show. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk the All-Star Soccer. Don't go anywhere on that, but we got a lot to talk about when we come back. The Rice Show, it's Nick and Matt, 940 ESPN.
We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Here at the Rice Show, Larry Hines is going to join us in a few minutes talking All-Star Soccer at Lindsay High School this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk to Larry a little bit, too. I've known Larry from back in my days at Edison High School. He's got the insight on, obviously, the world of soccer. To kind of reintroduce this idea of we are unquestionably the best women's soccer country in the world. But our men can't even crack the top 25 in
it's a great
world
topic.
Rankings. Maybe he's got an insight of how the women's game is so far advanced over the men's game. Because remember last week we talked, and it was a little element of, well, America has been always the land of free for quite a while. We had our mistakes and our growth in the foundation of this country. But we allowed women to be involved in things like athletics a lot sooner than most of these countries that pretty much still shelter the women and don't allow them to do anything. Their freedom of rights are not the same as we have in this country. Maybe that opening to let female athletics in college and Title IX and all that has accelerated our process in this country. I'd love to see what Larry's take is on the soccer program for the women's game in our
country.
Well,
I can make it easy for you because women, it's basketball and soccer, the two top sports in the
softball.
World. Softball's probably third, but for men, boys, football, baseball, basketball, maybe hockey in the middle, and then throw soccer in. And that's the role right
but,
there. Our best athletes don't play soccer
well,
anymore.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Obviously, there's some of that. But soccer is the number one sport in our country for the youth development. There's
when,
not a,
when they're
I don't
six
have
and
a,
under.
I don't have a young kid at all that I've ever coached in football at some point doesn't have a soccer story of how he scored 12 goals in one game.
I understand. When they're 6 and under, that's the greatest sport. It gets you ready, and then they branch and they leave. They're done. Okay, I'm going to go play baseball now, Mom, or basketball or football.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit before we get to Larry. Pagmeter got beat up again on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mentioned Darrell Edwards, the former Fresno High Warrior, was going to be a Fresno State Bulldog basketball player. He comes from LSU, and he's not going to be there. He's not coming. And whatever reason, if Fresno State didn't do their homework or on the other side, I know exactly why he's not coming. But if there's some personal issues, whatever the case would be, he's not coming. And I got attacked. And let me just tell you, for you Twitter people that follow the Pagmeter, I love it. And because Matt and I, and on the Zone show as well on Fridays, we're the only really shows left in the local market that has debatable topics.
Yeah, it doesn't just go along, you know, as you like to say.
Report scores.
Yeah, I don't want any peanuts, no hot sauce on my Sunday. Yeah. Let's just go straight down the road, keep it clean. Everybody gets a trophy. You deserve it.
Well, you know, like
we live in California.
And our local media does one heck of a job. Final score, Fresno State 86, Boise State 54. But we go deep inside topics. This wasn't even deep inside. I reported it was a fact in the story, but I think people got hurt about it, and I got attacked. Now, I have never blocked anyone ever on Twitter until this week.
Yeah.
If you're going to get ugly and personal, you're off the PAG meter, and you're going to regret it because you're not going to get the inside information because you're done. Now, if you want to come out and say, hey, we made a mistake, if you want to be personal, you're off the deal. If you want to debate about it, I love it.
Well, okay. If you want to be the PAG meter, which you clearly are, and you want to be who you truly are, and you don't want to go down that vanilla road you've been talking about, because you're a hot fudge sundae, your words, then be prepared for some backlash. Let me point out, I've been very critical of you on many occasions.
We've sat already on
this radio show and had some pretty good arguments. And people at home might be thinking, what a bunch of clowns. They're real point-counterpoint arguments.
Yeah.
You and I have disagreements. But I must say, on this particular moment, on this instance, this was not the unjust beat-up job you did on Kevin Durant. I think this was an absolute legitimate claim. It looks like someone didn't do their homework on Mr. Edwards. Oh, wait! Obviously, the people that reacted that way don't really have an opportunity probably very often to have someone say cliche statements like that. Basically, I read it as, it looks like someone in some department, probably at Fresno State, because they're the ones who released all of us to the public in his LSU jersey, wow, we got an extra person of depth on our basketball team. If he wasn't ready to go, if he had extra luggage that was hanging in his background, for whatever reason, it's not the student athlete you're referring to. It looks like someone didn't do the homework. They took it as, which is, once again, showing a complete low level of intellectual experience. Oh, didn't do homework? What is he implying? He's a graduate of college already. Of course he did his homework. We're not worried about homework. And by the way, you don't talk about homework in college anymore. Homework is something you do when you're in fifth grade. Okay? People out there are wondering. He didn't do their homework. Somebody released something about this new basketball shining beacon of hope we have, and he happens to be a local guy who I love. He's not going to make it. He's not going to be a part of the team. Big deal. What it shows me is, once again, the theme of this Thursday as I wake up and roll around town, there are a lot of messed up, warped, soft minds that are beginning to overtake this world of athletics in this great state. When I've got to turn on the clicker on a Twitter and then get more national news about these clowns in Colorado who attacked a Little League baseball game or a youth baseball game, that's the kind of mentality that we are breeding now. If you say one thing that could be misconstrued, if you say one thing where you're perceiving it means another thing, then they go unglued. Not right. Absolutely not right. And on this one, for once out of every 9 or 10, I'm not defending you, but come on, people, wake up.
Yeah, I was blown away that you can't say he's a local guy. You're ragging on Fresno Unified School District. I am not ragging on anybody.
I think that was individuals, whether you're close to the family, whether you're in the family, or whether you're a basketball person in our community that sees things a different way. Fair. Great. But that was not an inflammatory statement. It looks like Mr. Edwards will not be with the Fresno State Bulldogs. At the end of your statement, because I wanted to read it right away, because I'll jump on you quicker than anyone else. Looks like somebody didn't do their homework. If you wanted to make a statement, then you could have said, looks like someone didn't go to class. I would have jumped on you. Some do your homework. I read it as, looks like somebody didn't fully, was not aware in the university about whether he could become a viable product for our basketball program. End of story, period. So sad. I'm just mad unless... When someone goes to the extent of some of the words you talked about, remove them from your Twitter account. But if you want to play that game, Mr. Pagmeter, be expecting it.
And I love that. Now, 5 years ago, I would have been, where is he? I love the being that guy, because no one else, you and I are really the only ones who started.
Hey, we have to be the voice of stretching the boundaries. Clearly, what's the name of the new basketball coach we got for the men? What's his?
Coach Hutson?
Is that his name? Coach Hutson?
Fresno State?
Yeah, Coach
probably?
Hutson. Yeah. Maybe someone give him a memo. He's got a show on 940 ESPN. Sometimes people misstep that, and they get all whacked out of shape. Like, what? He doesn't even know that we're 940 ESPN. What? So we just kind of back away. I let it go. He made an honest mistake. We don't come unglued for something like that. But you're going to go out and make statements that are going to be unpopular.
That's what we do.
Well, at least someone's doing it.
Yeah.
We're not all going down the same tobacco road to the Sweet 16. Everyone's like, oh, if we can do this. Let me, theoretically speaking, if we win the next six games in a row and the other team that we're referring to loses five in a row, don't you think, theoretically speaking, that we could possibly be in the Final Four at the end of this rainbow? Who's talking that way? A lot of people. If we don't see, if we see something we don't like, we're going to let you have it.
This is why we do what we do. This is why the local guys, Matt, and I don't want to... No one else is scared to go out there. They tippy-toe. They don't go to the stories. We do, and I think that's a lot of people like that on Twitter. We bring up topics. We bring up debates. And that, I think it's great. Bring it up. I want to talk.
You want to be in the big time. You want to present yourself as a community, let's use Fresno State Athletics, that would support, back when that last clown was the AD over there that felt he could add on 20,000-plus seats, and it would be a 78,000-seat football stadium. Where are those people going to come from? We'd like to get 38 to 40 every game in there. But he was going to add on and add another bunch of seats to that stadium. Great. If you want to consider yourself a program that needs that kind of extra facilities development, then you need to be a part of a community that sometimes can be critical if things aren't going well in the field of softball. We were critical of the softball program many years back. We got killed over that. But we were wondering, why is Pat Hill getting all this raking over the coals about his football team? I don't see anybody talking bad about what's going on in women's athletics at Fresno State. We talked that talk, and somebody over in that department wanted to shut us down. Great. Well, that somebody in that department's no longer working for Fresno State. We're still here. We might not be here tomorrow. But we are not going to hold our tongue and not talk about things that need to be talked about.
Good, better,
ugly. Am I going over the board with this? I think I probably am. But either way, we got to make the statement.
No
That's
one else
show.
Is. We have taken it upon ourselves, the good, bad, or ugly.
All-star teams. Oh, I can't believe. Rankings. I can't believe you've got us ranked. Oh, my gosh. We're out here in fireball wondering if Pagmeter loves us anymore. We're out here. At least somebody's paying attention. You're the only... The last stand. The fort is getting overrun. There's still a few Davy Crockett's left in the fort to fight off the enemy. And you're one of them, Pagmeter. So don't you dare start going soft on me and stop worrying about your Twitter. Make your statement. Take on all comers, good or bad, and let's move on.
So you think I should comment on each one now?
No.
Just let it go.
Not your, you don't have to comment.
Okay. Just say it. Boom.
Say it.
Unless they ask me a question.
If you feel you want to comment, okay. Say your piece.
I like it.
If you feel you want to block someone, block them.
Hey, let's change the subject right now, but let's give a congratulations out to Jocelyn Budwick.
Oh, my goodness.
The Fowler Red Cats, she's just named the Gatorade California Girls Track and Field Athlete of the Year.
And
think about that for a minute.
Absolutely, and right here and now, I'd like to make a formal apology, another statement to the family, Mr. and Mrs. Budwick, the outstanding track coach, Jocelyn's mother. What an incredible career in the throwing events, discus and shot put, that she's put together. What an incredible coach. What an incredible father. The son, the daughters, the whole family's involved in this game. It's absolutely one of the great featured elements of the job that we do on radio when I get to go to these track meets, and I coach too, but and see there's mom and dad and prepping the daughter to get ready to go. We're going to miss that sensational student-athlete, Jocelyn Budwick, but she's going on, moving on to college and getting her scholarships and moving on, but she's well-deserving, definitely California's Gatorade student-athlete, track athlete of the year.
So, Matt,
track
you're,
and field
you're
athlete.
Our track guy.
Yeah.
Is Jocelyn up with Jenna Prandini status with this award?
Well, maybe. She's certainly up with Jenna Prandini's status as far as she's been a favorite pretty much her entire life. And I remember watching Jenna Prandini run and jump and long jump when she was back in grade school coming through with my son and through the junior high system in Clovis Unified. And she was already legendary status, as was Jocelyn. That's a pretty big next step, though, to go to our Jenna Prandini, who represents Puma, who's an international track star, world track star, and will hopefully have another opportunity to represent the United States of America in a World Championships or an Olympic Games. But, yes, as far as accomplishments through a track career here locally, absolutely Jocelyn Budwig is in that category.
Congratulations, Jocelyn. That is that is a fantastic award.
We're having a good run in the world track and field.
Oh,
we're talking about C.J. Albertson broke an indoor world record, the Buchanan cross-country track and field star.
Say that again.
C.J. Albertson.
We had him on Friday.
We had him on Friday. Set a world marathon record, the world indoor marathon. Try running 26.2 miles on a 200-meter track. It's like 411 laps.
And then stop on a dime.
Stop on a dime, make the U-turn, and then you got to run around the track the other way. But anyway, set a world record. We had him on the track. We had him on the – Caleb Foster out at Clovis North High School is only a junior. Champion. Comes from a great pedigree. His father was an Olympic, a great hurdler from Jamaica, went to Fresno State. But Caleb Foster, what a year he's had. And he will continue. He's not even a senior yet. Track and field, the hottest sport in California for our community is wrestling. That puts a footprint all over America, wrestling.
Yeah.
We win state championships like it's a thing to do. We're up first, second, third, fifth, fourth, 17th. Nothing like it. Track and field has now arrived, and they're getting into that category, boys and girls track and field. And I do believe that a lot of people are at stake for that. But the biggest factor was that beautiful track and field venue that was built out at Buchanan that accepted the state track meet to come here. So all those young athletes in the Central Valley have seen the great state athletes continue to come to Clovis for that state meet, and they started thinking, track and field's a pretty cool thing. I'm going to start running and do more and more. Great coaching now, more great coaches. So we are now the wrestling capital of California and the track and field capital of California. I don't know if it's very big or not. We won the boys and girls state championship in track and field.
Buchanan and Clovis North.
If you would have told me that 15, 20 years ago, I would have laughed in your face.
Buchanan and Clovis North are state champs.
State champs, track and field.
Think about that for a minute.
Think about it.
How many schools in there's
6,437,000.
There's 2,500 plus schools in California.
A lot of schools.
That is a lot.
And by the way, this is not a small school, a large school, 6A, 5, Division 5, Division 4, Division 3. In track and field, just like wrestling, if you come from a school of 300, you still have to compete against a kid that comes from a school of 3,000. That's a pretty great accomplishment in the state of California that we had those championships. And then, of course, you threw in Jocelyn Budwig to complete the package. She's now honored as the California State Track and Field Athlete of the Year. Wow, lofty honor.
Yeah, you can still thank McFarland. They used to be Division, what, 4 in cross-country? Let's move them to Division 1.
Yeah, I agree, but let's not forget that they made a movie about McFarland. That trumps everything.
Okay.
When you've got a and they brought in Kevin Costner.
Yeah, okay, you're
if
right.
If Kevin Costner comes to Edison High School to do a soccer story,
you win.
With Coach Larry Hines and as his character, then Edison's going to be fine.
Larry Hines coming up next. Also, Sanger High School boys soccer coach Alex Gutierrez is going to join.
Well, Alex Gutierrez looks more like he could be. He's a matinee idol. He's got the matinee idol look. So he could probably get a movie about Sanger soccer, too.
Or he could fight Jose Ramirez right now, one or the other, because he's ready. He's that kind of shape.
Or he could take you on right now because you're definitely happy, but you singled him out like that.
He's ready to roll. We're going to talk soccer because this weekend at Lindsay, if you're a soccer fan, girls Friday night, boys Saturday night. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back, talk soccer, 940 ESPN.
Soccer's in the house. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live. This is your Rice Show for your Thursday. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. On beautiful weather out there. And this is soccer weather because I never remember right before 4th of July where it's this nice weather, Matt. But
but remember, we're under full global warming, and at some point it's going to be 196 outside. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, everything's going to burn up.
Let's forget.
Let's talk a little soccer because this weekend at Lindsay High School, we got four games in 2 days, the best versus the best. Now, before I get to Alex, but Larry's in the house. Larry, is this just seniors or everybody involved?
No, it's not just seniors. Okay. It's basically when they're putting the roster together, they're looking for the best players in each area to represent. For us, for the North, it's Fresno, Clovis, gotcha. Madera, Sanger.
Well, Larry Hines on the house, head coach of the Edison Tigers, and Alex Gutierrez, the head coach from the Sanger Apaches, is in the house.
Hey, Larry, continuing on that now, you've been involved in the world of soccer for quite some time, and this type of event, this is something that's been happening a lot, or is this kind of a relatively new all-star game?
I think it's kind of in between. Coach Orozco from Lindsay, he put this together, and I don't know the exact number, but I think 11. It was about 9, 10, 11 years ago. And so this has been going on every year for the past 11 years, and we're hoping to keep it going every year moving forward.
Now, and you're coaching the girls team now.
Correct.
Now they're making – give us the regions and where we're selecting these athletes for both sides.
Well, for the North, and I'm coaching the North team against the South, the North All-Stars are from Fresno, Clovis, Madera, Sanger, Reedley.
So a dividing line where basically midpoint to go north, somewhere in the middle of Fresno area? Or
I would say like Sanger and North.
Okay.
And
yep.
Then the South All-Stars are from the Bakersfield, Taft, Tehachapi area.
Oh, good, good. So we have a true – what we've been fighting for in the world of football and baseball and other sports is a true, real – full collection of our central section.
Correct.
All the way down to Bakersfield. Now, for the girls, before we get Alex and coach of the boys all-star groups, where is the location for practices for both units?
We've been practicing on the girls' side
yep.
At Clovis Community College.
Okay.
So we've been having our morning sessions. We finished our last practice this morning, and it's a great facility out there.
And Alex, for the boys, are you on the same type schedule?
Actually, we're practicing in the evenings right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at Clovis Community College, and so
yep.
Coach Chad McCarty let us use his facilities. Beautiful facilities as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question for both of you guys. Years, Coach Alex, how many years have you been involved in soccer, including playing time as a youngster growing
oh,
up?
Oh, man. I mean, I was 4 years old and 32 now, so what, 28 years?
Okay, 28. Larry?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same ballpark. I started when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 playing, and, you know, I'm 35, so.
Okay, so as American audiences now get wrapped around the World Cup for the ladies game, and we recognize that our USA club is number one in the world. You know, they're a defending champ. They've done this for, seems like, forever now. But then you look at the men's team in the World Cup that will be coming in, and men, we're not even, I think we're like 27th ranked in the world or something.
Yeah.
For men.
Not great.
But the women's just dominate. Why do you think that is? Both of you, I'd love to get your, from the real world of soccer, why do you think the women's game is so far advanced over the rest of the world as opposed to the men, and they're seemingly struggling every year just to crack into that group?
I don't know if we have enough time to answer that.
Yeah. But you think, is it a structural thing or the fact that men have been playing worldwide for so long and we're just still not quite there?
I think a lot of it is the timing. You know, for the women in particular, culturally speaking, when you think about some of these other countries that are involved,
yes,
women don't have as many opportunities to play it, let's say, in certain countries,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So America, you know, being as progressive as we've been, you know, in this country over the last couple decades, I think the women have had more time to develop themselves.
Right.
But Coach Hines here, I'm sure, can elaborate a little bit on that as well.
No, I would mirror those thoughts. I think in a lot of the Western civilizations, I think women have more opportunities
yes.
than in some countries in other parts of the world. And so you see the countries that are dominant in women's soccer.
Canada, USA, Netherlands.
Western Europe.
Sweden.
England. Yeah.
Yep. England, there you go.
Exactly. All yep. Western European countries. The Asian countries have been good. Yep. You've seen Japan and China have good teams in the past.
Yep.
And, you know, U.S. and Canada. But you see, you know, countries where maybe women have less opportunity.
Right.
And they're still finding their way with their opportunities.
Well, we're going to continue to talk, obviously, what you're here all about with this All-Star game. But last question on that is to Alex for the men's team, our U.S. team. But there also has to be something maybe potentially structurally speaking from the top, from the governing body, because when Cameroon or a country like that qualifies over us in a World Cup, mm-hmm. you can't tell me that we can't assemble a squad that could take on a country that's less the size of California.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that, honestly, and it's pretty sad. But I think a lot of it has to do with the way it's structured, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think there was a big movement by the U.S. Soccer Federation to create an academy system, but it has not been fully fleshed out enough. And I think the other issue and aspect is that we're not tapping into some of the urban areas and rural areas where there's a lot of talent. And I know Coach Hines here in Edison, and I can attest to that. There's just talent that's being overlooked.
100% agree, Alex. Soccer, I think, in the U.S. is driven by money.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you don't see in other countries. You look even at the highest level, you look at MLS compared to a league in overseas or a league in other countries, there's relegation. Like, can you imagine a U.S. market where a New York or L.A. team got relegated out from the top league? The Lakers can no longer play in the NBA because they finished too low, or the Knicks can no longer play in the NBA. So everything in the U.S. is driven by money, and I think in other countries that's not true, and that's holding us back a bit in the men's side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about this All-Star game. Now, when's the date? The girls play on a Friday and the boys on a Saturday?
That's correct, yes.
So what's the date, Alex?
So the boys will be playing on Saturday, the June 22nd. We have East versus West will be playing at 6 p.m. And the North versus South will follow directly afterwards, so 8 p.m. start time.
So, Alex, head coach of the boys soccer team in Sanger.
Yes.
Who stands out to you? Like, whoa, I did not know that. Give me some of the names of guys that are already, to you, have thought, you've maybe were a little bit aware, but we're not quite fully immersed in how the skills of this particular athlete was.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and just to clarify as well, so I'm on staff with the North team. The head coach is actually Enrique Garcia from Madera South, so he asked me to come on board.
Might have heard of him, him very well. Right, had a tremendous year.
Tremendous,
sure. Yeah.
So, some of the boys on the North side, I mean, there's just so much talent. We're looking at a lineup of, potentially 15, 16 starters, and then a couple other guys off the bench that are just going to be amazing. We have Max Arfston out of San Joaquin Memorial, who has had an amazing year, signed to UC Davis next year. Michael Gonzalez, forward out of Bullard. We have our guy, Saul Sanchez, coming from Sanger. We've got players who didn't have teams, schools that were really, putting big numbers this year, but individually they really shine. We've got an Ivan from McLean. We've got a Victor out of Fresno High School. There's just so much talent, really, to sit back and watch and be a part of it.
How many on the club?
We have 25.
25. And everyone's going to get rotated in? Are they going to allow substitutions like that? Or how,
We're going to do our best. So, we're going to get as much substitutions as we can.
Okay.
There's no limit on that. And we're going to do some time rotations and try to get every player as much time as possible on the field.
So, once again, the boys, the All-Stars, Saturday, location and time. Say that once again.
At Lindsay High
School. Lindsay High School.
Lindsay High School. It's actually the Lindsay Sports Complex out there.
Okay.
6 p.m. East versus West, and then 8 p.m. North versus South.
Wow. Okay. And Larry, for the young ladies?
The girls, it's the same time schedule,
but
it's Friday night. So, tomorrow night, it's 6 p.m. East versus West, and 8 p.m. is the North versus South game. It's just, like I said, so Friday and Saturday.
Some of the names for the ladies that you've, she's good.
Oh, I mean.
They're all good. Don't
they're
get
all
me wrong.
Great.
Yeah, they're all all-stars.
They're all great. Some kids who have really stood out at training. I mean, Alyssa Renovato at Bullard is spectacular. Samantha Tristan at Clovis High has come to training and been really fantastic. A player who I knew was a really good player because we play against her at Edison. And she plays at Sanger. Audrey Reyna, I've always known she was good, but seeing her out at training, she's just even surprised me so much more. She's so much better than I even thought seeing seeing her twice a year in our conference. And she's been their standout player for, the past couple seasons, and she's been fantastic. But all the girls are capable, and that's the difficult challenge as a coach to try to say, how do we manage substitutions? How do we manage who plays where and who plays what? Because for our team, we split up the defenders, the midfielders, the forwards. Well, we had 9 defenders, 2 midfielders, 9 forwards.
Yeah.
And so now we have to try to
balance
that.
That's like American football. Okay, all the linemen go over here. All the receiver, defensive back guys, and there's 600 receivers. I want to catch balls. And there's about 8 guys that want to block anybody.
Yeah.
Same kind of concept. Goalkeepers, what do we look like, boys and girls? Is that just get one?
We look great. We have 2 goalkeepers. Angie Petrakis from Clovis North is fantastic, and Carly Tynan from Liberty Madera Ranchos.
Yep.
She was a standout player in our Valley Championship game, actually. We played Liberty Madera, and I thought she had a fantastic game and was a big reason they had such a great season.
Awesome. And Alec, who's in the goalkeep for the boys?
So our starter is going to be Bryce. I forget his last name, out of Central High School.
Yep, Central High.
Juan from Madera South.
Good.
Yeah, so we're looking good, but in the back there. So we're feeling pretty confident.
It goes without saying, congratulations to you coaches and all the other coaches. You obviously had great years. Congratulations, Larry and Alex. Alex Sanchez, Sanger High School, congratulations. Gutierrez, I'm sorry. Alex Gutierrez from Sanger High School, Larry Hines, Edison High School girls team. Congratulations. Thanks for coming into the show. And let's be there Friday. Nick Pagmeter will have it on his Twitter announcing and promoting here on ESPN for the matches on Friday and Saturday. Stay in the game. Keep it going. Love what you guys do. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Shazari has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all. Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Rye Show for your Thursday. Pagmeter, Matty J, in the best furniture store on the planet. Look at it. Kathy doing a great job over there. She's got the book out. They're designing things here. If you don't know really what your room has, the measurements, or your financing, these guys got A to Z.
How about just color the fabrics that you can choose are going to match? They're going to help lead you through the process and really help enhance whatever room you're trying to get right, they'll be able to kind of visualize. They've been only doing it for how long?
1960.
I don't know. If you're 1960, family-owned, locally operated, locally owned, I think they're doing a pretty good job.
Again, if you're going
best in the business.
If you're going to a furniture store and there's like a large bear out there with a sign pointing here, we got sales going on. Pretty good rule of thumb is you don't want to go in that store because it's probably on their last leg.
Could be a red flag. If every week it's the closeout sale. Everything must go, but they've been doing it for 6 years that way. Might want to reconsider your furniture choice. Come on out to Fashion Furniture. We know where they're going to be. They're solid.
Yeah, if a guy's playing a guitar on skate, roller skates out in the front, might want to rethink that one.
Hey, by the way, okay, and in this town and on the hot weather days, I used to be the bear out front. That's why I'm laughing at a pizza parlor in Oregon when I was a little kid. I was a guy dressed up in a bear costume. We didn't have signs. They felt, I had no fingers. I had paws. I couldn't hold a sign, but I, lay people into the Grizzly Bear Pizza Parlor, Grizzly Bear. In summers in Oregon, where we were at, eastern Oregon, where my parents had a ranch and I grew up, blah, 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 it was hot in the summer. And I literally would be in that suit for 3-4 hours at a time, stretches in the afternoon. But the point is this. The guys that twirl those signs you're talking about, how other than they do attract attention as you're going by in your car, like, what the heck was that? But you can't read anything. They're advertising, like, tax refunds and do your taxes, but you can never read what the sign says, so clearly... You talk about it on radio, but are you really attracting people into my business? I don't think so. I'm not so sure if there's a marketing study that shows that those tactics really work. I don't think they do.
Well, you mentioned, how about the poor guy who just got his first job? Hey, Mom, Dad, I got a job! And they're all excited. Yeah. Hey, Billy, what's in the box? I don't know. And it is that Statue of Liberty uniform. It's tax season, and he's pointing over here. Well, Mom, I thought I'd be working in the office. I've been going to CPA school and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. How about this one? Okay, this is that time of the show, in case you haven't ever listened to us, you know, which is probably a lot of us, maybe hearing as you're driving right now. We always have this moment where we do our observations, and these are observations. I'm driving back home from school, as I do on the back roads every now and then through 145 and coming in the back way back into Fresno. And have you ever noticed this? And I'm trying to figure out, what's the deal? What's the lure of the guy that owns 26,000 acres of orchards and grapes and everything else out there he's farming? And he obviously is doing very well because he's got a 12,000 square foot house. But he got with his family and he said, well, where do we want to put our house on this palatial acreage and all this room that we have? Honey, let's put it right next to the road. You got a 8,000 square foot Mediterranean palace, and it's built right next to the main freeway. Why wouldn't you set the house back into your orchard a little bit and get the surrounding effect of your ranch? Why are you building these homes right next? Is it? And if you've got enough money to afford a 10,000 square foot house with six garages and you've got cars and good looking things all over the place, don't tell me, well, we're set back. We got to run plumbing to the house. You can afford to go a mile into your property, I hope, if you've got a $2 million home sitting there right off of the road. I'd kind of like my privacy a little more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't. If I'm going to lay out in the backyard, yeah, right by the pool, I don't want to have the freeway overpass looking in my backyard. You're, yeah, right.
And it happens
all over the time.
And one other thing. We had an early morning practice, and we're going off to a little 7-on-7 stuff tonight, this evening. Won't tell. I mean, I'm going to have to talk about where. But the point is, I'm going to go pick up the vans from the district.
Why don't you tell people why?
And I've got. I don't want to expose my team to anybody just yet. Okay. But anyway, so I'm going down to pick up the vans. And,
down by the river?
Yeah, and somebody with a uniform coat on the side of the truck, could have been sheriff, could have been a local city worker, whatever. I mean, literally, rolls up on me in their big truck, and I'm driving that little, you know, hybrid Prius.
Yeah, golf cart.
It is. It's a golf cart. They're in my back seat for about a mile. What is the proper procedure when someone is tailgating you, where they literally, if I wanted to think, well, my dad's deal was always, hit the brakes, they'll get off your... Yeah, he's going to be in my front seat if I hit the brakes. I had nothing to do other than... I don't understand what you're supposed to do when someone tailgates you that tightly.
I usually let them go, and then I tailgate them for 88 miles. That's what I do.
It's in the city. There's no... Let them go where?
I just pull over on the sidewalk? I fall into their house, and then I say, are you happy now?
That's how you do it? Anyway, yeah. And then, of course, I saw another one of my favorite vehicles on the road today in the morning, blowing past me at 75, because I can only go 65 in my vehicle.
Downhill with the wind.
Yeah. My favorite looking, the new Corvette, and they decided to attach the aerodynamic wing off the trunk lid. And I'm talking about rails that go up 4 feet with a wing attached to their new Corvette. Who does that? You go to the dealership, you check out the Chevy guy, you take it for a test drive, and then you go talk to the guy. Can I get one more thing on there? I'd like a hydrofoil sitting off the back of my $65,000 beautiful-looking red Corvette. Are you trying to get more ground effects as you go down the freeway of California?
I'm not a blue bookologist, but the value's got to go down.
And it's an aftermarket wing. It's candy apple or cherry red colors, beautiful-looking vehicle, with two aluminum struts that hang off the back of the trunk lid, with a big half-red, half-looking orange-colored wing that doesn't even match the color scheme of the car, but you've got your wing. You've got a wing on your vehicle.
So this is the part of the show.
That's a race car analogy.
This is the emotional tampon part of the show for Matt. You feeling better now?
I'm just trying to see if anybody else, observations that I
see
need to be talked
about. Well, my observation, if you want to talk, is downtown Fresno for me. We do the game that no one listened to on Friday night on 790, our best broadcast of all time, the City County All-Star Football. Take the gear back. I say hi to Bobby in the studio. I put a quarter in the little meter because I got to put a quarter in the meter. 10 minutes. I come out after I say, Bobby, I'll see you Thursday at the Rice Show, and he'll set it up, and I leave. There's 1 minute left on the meter, but I got a ticket. So whoever the little meter maid is must have thought, this guy's not coming out. I'm going to do it now, save everyone some time. I got a $33 ticket, and I parked for 9 minutes. Now, my question is, why do we have meters downtown anyway? And what is so special about downtown? Where do I want to go back for, unless I have a cousin in jail to bail him out, why am I going downtown?
My thoughts exactly, my friend. Let me get this straight. There's such a lure of what's happening downtown that we want to help promote coming downtown, and we want to slap a parking meter ticket on a guy that's actually maybe doing some business downtown. It to me, it goes against the grain of what this new party group is doing to the state of California. Athletically, everybody gets this, everybody gets that, everyone's entitled to this and this and this, and everybody gets what? Free! Free! You're not paying for anything. The government's going to pay for everything. Free! Except for parking tickets. You got to pay us. Your $33 ticket.
33.
With a minute still left on the deal.
Well, how am I going to argue that one? Sure, it would have had a minute left.
I think what you do is you do make the argument. The problem is, because I got one of those tickets looming right now on a potential, what they call the cell phone violation, because I wasn't on the phone, and he admitted, no, I know you weren't on the phone, but you picked your phone up, and I thought, I didn't know you weren't allowed to pick your phone up while you're driving. I saw that. You showed me the phone, sir. I waved the phone. Look, I'm not on my phone, but the fact that your hand's on the phone, California Penal Code law, such and such, such and such, you're not allowed to touch your phone when you're driving a vehicle. I go, well, in the spirit of the law, sir, don't you think the spirit was keeping people from texting or actually manipulating their phone while they're driving? I can drive 300 miles with not one distraction, and I like to rest my hand on my phone in the passenger seat. Is that a violation? Well, theoretically, yes, sir. I was into him deep on this one, and I got the ticket. And he said, now, let me just tell you, sir, you're more than welcome to fight that. But it's the inconvenience of actually getting away from work to go deal with the ticket is the problem. So, to answer your question, Nick, no, you can go and tell your case, and you'll probably win.
Nah.
But for $33, are you going to go through? Because I went through my latest little jury duty selection thing, and it's not a picnic down there. You might as well just sign up for duty in Baghdad or something, because, man, it is a disaster downtown at jury duty.
You know who's got it going on, though? The founder of this soccer all-star in Lindsay, Ben Roscoe.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes.
How about this idea? No, we did have a pretty good crowd on Friday night. You and I broadcasted.
Great crowd. That Central Grizzlies home side was pretty much full.
Why don't we do an all-star game with sophomore, juniors, and seniors as well? You know those kids are going to want to show up. We might be onto something here.
Not a bad idea. He's
got sophomore, juniors, whoever is an all-star is playing in this thing. Yep. Ben Orozco, you're on fire. Why aren't we doing this one game, baseball, basketball?
How about that? We have an all-star game, a senior all-stars, and an underclassman all-star game.
Or all together, your varsity. Let's bring in North versus the South, whatever the case to be. I don't know if anyone would go for it, but if you want to get a big crowd, Bakersfield against the North Valley versus the South Valley or something.
Yep.
We might be on to something.
And I see in the world of high school, the ladies game and girls basketball, we've got a new coach out at Memorial.
Yeah, Corey Fisher. He'll join the Zone Show tomorrow.
Clovis High.
Our guy.
Yeah.
Clovis. I think Memorial got a great pick. The guy's got heart, passion. He's going to give everything he can to Memorial basketball.
Yeah.
Girls basketball.
How's the Memorial boys basketball team coming around?
Coach Roz is putting on a nice program, and you know he's losing a few, but I think he's going to be fine. Hey, remember JoJo Hunter? He's one of the best in the state already. This kid's getting recruited by everybody. I like him. I think basketball is right around the corner. Cole Anderson got back. We'll find out. I haven't talked at all to Nick Anderson, but he got back from the best basketball players in the country, 100 best, and he got to play with those guys for 5 days. So I bet there's some great stories.
Now, have you had a chance yet to get out? Now, you've got your PAG meter rankings for the preseason of football. It's still a little early, but you've got them out already. Where do you get your information through the summer to go help put more thoughts in your head on how the valley is shaping up for, and the coast, how they're shaping up for football?
The only chance I have is I'll go watch 7-on-7, which I know that's not real football, but it's better than nothing. I look at what they had last year. Is there a quarterback coming back? How about the offensive line? We have a few defensive players coming back. That's what I look at. But before we get to that, Corey Fisher was telling me, the new head coach of Memorial, they moved the D3. Back-to-back, Memorial was D5 section champs. Then last year they won the D4 section champs. They're now D3. Now, Jim Critchlow was listening. But he was, Corey was telling me, he goes, we have the option during the seeding playoff time to say, Jim Kritzel, we want to move up to the Central. And even Corey said this, if we want to win a Central section championship and compete against the best versus Clovis West and Clovis North, we can go up, no problems. You can't go back.
Yeah.
But you can move up to D2 or D1.
Are you talking about before our central section, for instance, playoffs begin?
Yeah.
When the regular season's over, you're saying he has the right to take his Division III team and declare that he'd like to play Division
I. They can have a team meeting and go, you know what? What do you guys girls think? We played Clovis West tough, or, you know, we lost to Clovis North, or, you know, we beat that other team pretty good. Do you want to move up in the playoffs? Or stay, you know, maybe have a team vote, but you can move up.
Well, that
and say,
is
Jim, we can go up to, we want to move up to the big girl division.
That is one step closer to a potential realization that we could begin to reseed your divisions at the end of each sports season.
Yeah, you're right, Matt, because who cares what you're seeded during the year? Should be at the end of the year. If someone is 0-10, going, okay, we messed that one up, maybe we aren't D1. We want to be D2. We haven't won a game yet. Let's look. I think that's we've been talking about that for years.
Yeah. Like I said, and the only downside, and it continues to be the downside, is that if you're going to assign an independent panel to do this movement, you still always have to be aware that we are trying to represent our central section to the best of our ability against the rest of the state of California. So therefore, if the best programs are in Division III, Division II, and two teams from Division I. Let's say there's four teams, but there's a Division III team out there that's equally as good, and everybody knows it, as a Division I team. If you move them to Division I, you're going to have three schools at the end of that run for the Division I Central Valley Championship, Central Section Championship, is going to be left out of a potential good state run. And that's going to set us up bad in the eyes of the state when we're not competing against all these other state programs.
Well, we're going to have Jim Kritzlow call in because he's listening right now.
Well, of course
and
he is.
Corey Fisher might be wrong on his little, Rod. It's just Matt's throwing all of that.
Just, all you got to do is just look at the plate, and that's all. And he doesn't need all the shocking. He told it on the radio too.
I'm 12
what
years
more
old.
What more can I tell you?
Jim Kritzlow is saying teams must declare before the season starts, not after. And we're going to talk to him after this break to find out. I would like to change that rule and say, Mr. Jim Kritzlow, we got the best team we've ever had in school history, and we want to compete against the best, and we want to win a Central Section Big Boy or Big Girl Championship. Can't do it in a Division II or six.
Yeah, but might I also point out that thank goodness for guys like Jim Kritzlow that actually listen to the show to correct us on a moment's notice before this stuff goes viral and you're selling it.
I believed Corey Fisher.
Well, you probably believed yourself. Corey threw a little something in there, and you ran with it. That's all I'm saying.
Dang it,
yeah.
Corey. Dang
but that's
it.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Kritzlow. We can get that corrected right up front.
So if you have any questions for Jim, he's coming up next. And well, we will. I know I got about three good questions for him. And he always, one thing about Jimbo, we can go right at him with anything, and he's not shy.
He's not. He's a real, real man. And he understands.
He's a real, real man.
Well, there's not a lot of real men left out there in this world of athletics, I'm finding out.
Maybe we'll ask Jim. Maybe his first job.
The tide has changed.
Maybe his first job. Maybe Jim was a mascot, Barney the dinosaur. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Barney.
I wasn't going. I don't even know. I'm just talking.
His first job, maybe.
When I say a real man, a real stand-up guy.
Oh, Jim's the best.
Real stand-up guy. If he disagrees, he'll speak up. He's not going to hold his tongue. Thank you so much.
You know what? He didn't like you for years, but now he likes you again. So let's talk about Jim. Let's bring up Jim when we go back. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Back live right here at Fashion Furniture on a beautiful day outside. High 70s right now. It's on a Thursday at the end of June.
Yeah, and just think, it's amazing because we're under such global warming that this could actually happen.
Yeah, as long as it's hot in June and July and cold at Christmas, I want to just say it's not going to change for a while.
It's always my point. It's always under change. Okay, that was my own point.
Yeah, okay,
deal. Of course it changes. History will tell us that. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a box of chocolates.
But I do know we're going to get great pricing and great service here at Fashion Furniture.
Always the best.
El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park, been in business since 1960. Let's go now to the main guy who his first job, I'm understanding, he was a giant rabbit on the corner when he was 12 years old promoting a business. Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. Jim, how are you?
I'm well, but I was not. I was an actual, my first job, I think I was 10 or 11, sitting outside of a drive-in here in Porterville, dressed like a chef, ringing a cowbell to attract people into the restaurant.
he had that deal.
And it worked, huh, Jim? Because, you know, Jim
yeah,
was a...
Did.
Jim could have been on GQ magazine back when he was 10 and 12, and the ladies saw Jim with the cowbell. We need more cowbell. Get in here. And he packed the house. Love that.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Hey, oh,
Jim,
yeah,
so,
sure.
So we're talking, you heard about it. Well, Corey Fisher's the new Memorial coach, and he told me, and I'm going to throw Corey under the bus, because that's what I do. He says, hey, if we want to move up, I got to let those guys know before the seeding that I want to move up to D1 and compete against Clovis West and Clovis North. I can't go down, but I can go up. That's not true?
No. We require anybody who wants to move up to let us know before the season starts. Much like your discussion, a couple weeks ago with the football teams, Clovis North, Clovis East, it had to be before the season started. And so it makes a lot of sense on our side of it to think, okay, I play really, really well all year. Now I want to go up. I'm in Division II, and I'm playing really, really poor. I want to go down to 3. Under the current system, which we'll talk about the next system in a minute, it can't be done that way, so that's why we request anybody who wants to go up to say so before the season starts.
So, Jim Critchlow, you're saying Clovis North and Clovis East, they're both right now supposed to be in Division II. The only question, I got an email, and they're saying, well, yeah, but what if Clovis West lost 8 transfers, and they go to Clovis West, and we're not very good, we're going to stay in D2? Or, God, we just got 8 new kids in, let's go to D1. They got the option, right? Is that how it works?
Yes, they can petition to go up or down. The deadline was May 15th to petition to have your change that you were assigned this year. But as far as moving up, Clovis North has already contacted me. They are going to play Division I football. I have not heard from Clovis East. So that change has taken place. Now, as we move into the winter, teams have until November 1st, roughly, to determine where they want to go.
Okay, and that you're talking the sports that take place after November. You're not talking move in the fall sports in November. That's for the next wave, the next season of sport.
Correct. Yes, they can call in any time. Actually, they can call any time. If Corey wants to call today and say, hey, put us in division, whatever, as long as it's up, we'll put them into there. But basically, the deadline for the winter sports will be November 1, and for the spring sports will be like February 1 before any games start.
Well, you've had, as the commissioner of our Central Section CIF, you've had our group, and you're the guy who's the head of our section. We've had a tremendous year of sport. What moments kind of stand out in your mind from this year of sport?
Oh, goodness. Our football teams that won regional games, our Carruthers girls basketball won a state championship. We had Madera South winning a North NorCal regional soccer championship. There's so many, and the 2 track championships just recently with Clovis North and Buchanan. I mean, it's incredible, as you guys have mentioned almost weekly, how well the section is done and how the Central Valley compares with other teams throughout the state.
Now, and you're in your summertime now, Jim. Give us a sense of what are the kind of the important issues and what's the busiest part of your job through the summer? What goes on in your offices during this time of the season?
Trying to stay awake.
Yeah.
That's why I have you guys. I know. Basically preparing for next year, working on a PowerPoint for the opening athletic directors meeting in August. and starting to put things together for the playoffs as we get into November, December, some in October, the girls' golf championships, some eligibility issues that have come across. And then the big one this year we're working on, and you guys have alluded to it, and we're just trying to it's been floated. It was floated at our last Board of Managers meeting. How can we get to doing the division placement on a yearly basis as late as possible in the season? We need to know the pros and cons. For example,
yes,
the last football game Friday night. Right now we have divisions 1 through 6 already set. We go from there on Saturday morning with the rankings and blah, blah, blah. How can we do it Saturday morning by taking whomever's rankings we use, rank the schools 1 through 96 or whatever six divisions are. Yeah, that's six times
yes,
the scale that is. How can we do that? How can we – can it be done? Absolutely. But what do you do with that outlier team like a Strathmore who was ranked possibly number 25 in the section? Are they really good enough to play in Division II? Or McFarland, who was ranked all the way up like at 32nd, they're not a Division II team, really. So we have to figure out how we can take the current rankings of whomever, Scorebook Live, Peg Meter, the coaches, and then take into account the real – I mean, taking into account the sensibility and the athleticism of those kids who are ranked up there just because they're 10-0 and may have their best team in the last 50 years. Is it really fair to put them up there to get beat? So those are the things that the ADs and the Board of Managers will have to look at this year. There's another plan is to take because now we're under a two-year cycle, not a three. We've been under a two-year cycle now for 4 years, to where you take the 2 years' point totals and do it every year instead of every 2 years. Where now, for example, Carruthers girls won the basketball or football championship 2 years ago, 52 points. This year they were quarterfinal losers, 26 points. They're bumped up to a division, for example. Well, wait, no, this last year they had a down year. No, they stay where they are. So there's those two options out there, and what has to happen now is athletic directors and part of the meeting in August will be to go through discussion and start the process to get it into play for the 20, which is hard for me to say, the 2021 school year.
Well, you mentioned earlier, there's two questions here. One is a football mechanical type question. That comes from a lot of high school football coaches around the Valley. I'll get to that, and that's the second part. But the first part is I talk a lot about, which I know I've talked with you in the past, Jim, relating to that one of the downsides of this idea that Pagmeter has always talked at with me, and then that is at the end of the year, then we can do exactly what you're talking about. We can put everyone in the divisions we feel are right through an independent rankings or a panel, whatever it might be. But the downside would be if you have an unusual situation where, let's say, a Division II football program is very, very good, certainly deserves to be playing for a rights to the Division I championship, but they might not be quite there yet, but they certainly fit in about the top five and of all schools. So you put them into Division I, they end up getting beat. Now you've eliminated a real state football playoff contender for a lower division. Is that part of a negative, or can that be looked around, or can we work around that?
Well, again, that's something the athletic directors will have to consider. Once it gets past the state, into the state playoffs, obviously, as you know, we have no say other than here are our teams. You put them where you want them. But you're absolutely right. And, again, that's something as an athletic director, okay, I got to figure this out now. Is this what I want for my teams? Or do I want to play for whatever level I feel I can play at and maybe not dominate but win or maybe just be good enough? So, again, there's a myriad of things that have to be considered when we go forward. Your schedule, for example, you guys at Madera South, and off the top of my head, what are you, Division Four football?
Five. Division Five now.
Five. Okay. All right. So your schedule is based on four and five schools, I would presume.
It's not. Ours, we're based on Division One and Two. We still play in the CMAC.
Oh, okay.
You know. We're still playing the big boys.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go. But let's hypothetically say you're Division Four and Five schools. All right. Then all of a sudden you have a 10-0 year and the rankings come out. Now you are the 28th best school in the section. So after beating all the fours and fives, now you're put up to Division II. That seems a little tough for me to say, yep, okay, sorry, Matt, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't think that's right. So, again, that's me personally. You may disagree, totally understand that, but that's what our athletic directors and administrators are going to have to look at if we indeed go to the end of the season ranking. And it's not just for football. That would be every sport. And can you imagine how long it might take Saturday mornings to sort out?
Sure.
Or how long it may not, depending on what the criteria is.
Yeah, and if I might toot the horn of my sidekick, the PAG meter, who you've listened to the show, we have genuine disagreements and arguments on certain topics. But one thing that I have noticed that does rub a lot of people the wrong way, let's assume the category is a Division IV, Division V football program. They go 10-0, and they get ranked by the PAG meter 39th in the Valley, the PAG meter, we won. Yeah, but how would you match up against a Division I or Division II opponent? He's pretty good at that. So I think a good group of individuals like a PAG meter really goes out and visits the school and sees the games. I think you could potentially put together a pretty close to scientific perfection system. My other question, because Nick's waiting to talk, my other question, though, has to get out because Coach has been hitting me up on this one. What are the chances, and is it in your ball, is the ball in your court for potentially bringing in a shot clock, a 24-second or 25-second clock to high school football arenas, stadiums?
First question, I understand. First question, dealing with the where to put the teams, that's back in the court of the administrators and stuff. I really would hate to penalize a team that really should not be playing up that high. Let them have their glory, just like, again, some of the teams in our lower levels this year. As far as the clock, that is going to be up to the National Fed. Every year we get a survey that's passed out to the athletic directors who presumably pass it on down to their coaches about what rules they would like to see changed and or new things implemented. That 25-second clock, the rule just changed this year, obviously, as you know. That rule, the clock part has not been initiated. Possibly next year, I would think the way the Fed works, and even the state for that matter, it might take two more years for that clock to be put in.
Interesting. We're talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. So, Jim, here's the only problem I have, and I like we're getting closer on the year-to-year. So, for example, let's take on Tranquility. Tranquility has the greatest seventh grade class, and everyone can see it coming. Eighth, ninth, they're in sophomore, junior, senior. They've won it two straight years when they're juniors and seniors. But you just said, like you said, well, Tranquility gets 52 points for winning it, and another 52 point, 104 points. Well, they're at 104. We got to move them down. We got to move them to a Division III. This is why I think we sit down and go, that senior class is a special class, and now they got to start over. We have to look year to year, and I don't care if they've won or they've overachieved. We still got to look at who's coming in to the next year to year. That's the key for me.
And totally understanding your side. And again, with that said, we have a thing in place where after those years, they may every year a school can petition. If the PAG meter has just gone 10-0, 10-0, won two section championships, graduated 90% of his team, you send me in your roster for next year, which includes four kids, blah, blah, blah. The commissioner, I have the authority, even though you scored 104 points, to say, nope, you're staying down. That happens. We can do that every year. We do it right now. I just did 84 schools this fall, where they petitioned to either drop down a division or some said we want to go where they are. Did they all get past muster? No, they didn't. Some did, some didn't. So we do that. We do that every season. It's not perfect, but at least we do take a look at it. We're refining some of the requirements to make sure that we're not getting sandbagged by our fantastic group of athletic directors, and I mean that positively, that they're not, you know, pulling the wool over our eyes, because obviously, as you, we don't see every roster. We don't know every kid that's out there. We don't know all the transfers who have left or all the transfers who have come in or what caliber they are. We see the transfers, but I have no idea if the kid's a five-star or a no-star.
Yeah, you don't know if he's related to Herschel Walker. You don't know. Now, the other question, I just – yeah, right. Well, if it's a med, then he should be D6. But Matt's not listening now, but I want to know, what can we do to get Madera South out of the CMAC? Because to me, it's just not right to have Edison, Bullard, Sanger, Memorial, four of the top five teams. I mean, really, the top – well, they'll be in the top ten, all of them, on my early rankings. And Madera South is Division Five. As we all know, they have zero chance of winning a game in the CMAC. They might beat Madera, but that's it. That's not fair to their kids, and it's not fair to the Bullard, Memorial, Sanger, and Edison to play a Division Five team. So if Marty Bitter is listening, can we get them in the North Sequoia League, like where they belong? Move Washington Union in the NYL, put Sunnyside where Madera South is in the CMAC, have a three-way swap, everybody's happy.
Everybody might not be happy. That has been bantered around a little bit.
I'm talking to Jim. I'll turn your microphone off.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Put your mic off.
Yeah.
Shut your mic off there.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, the way it works, and I think Matt knows, the way it works is as the section placement committee puts people in the league, they check with the schools, the school districts, and the school districts have the ultimate say, basically, that, hey, we want our people in the same league or same conference. Oh, can they be split? Yes. Will they be split? There's an outstanding chance that, let's see, we're starting the new cycle this year. So this is 2021. The next go around, 2 years from now, there will be massive changes because, one, Madera's adding a new school. Two, supposedly Central is being split. There is some talk of, three, a new school in either Clovis, Visalia, or Braindead.
Sanger.
Fresno or Sanger. And
well,
then
Fresno,
Bakersfield too far south. So there's all those possibilities that, yes, I totally agree. They are misplaced in league, and I just totally respect what you're saying. Can they be changed? There is one option right now that can change things. If a school feels they are misplaced and can find a sister school in the same, not the same, but let's say, again, Madera South and Sunnyside, if they would both agree and all other parties involved in those two leagues would agree for them to switch and all principals would sign off on it, that can happen the last 2 years of the cycle. So there are built-in steps for all of this stuff. It's just a matter of people electing to use what is there for them.
Jim Kripsel, well, you're on fire today. I love that. See, we're on the same page. I love that. Now, you've got to be excited before we go to break, but you got to be excited when you're in those CIF state meetings and we have a state championship and all on the track and the girls' basketball. You're on the first tee bragging a little. You know, hey, guys, look at Central Valley now. Remember back in the day, you guys used to laugh at us. We're number one now.
Yeah,
you got to love that.
Yeah, remember, Jim, back in the day when the PAG meter would make comments like, well, Jim, you go get donuts now. The other sections are going to talk about
it. Now they're bringing in prime ribs.
Yeah, now they're
Kripsel.
Like, Jim, come on into the – we want to get your opinion on something, Jim. Yeah. What do you think we should do about –
Jim Kripsel walks in. He's got himself
– oh, yeah.
He doesn't have to pay anything anymore. Way to go, Jim.
Well, thanks, and I know you have to go to break, and I appreciate it, but I'll just to drop a little caveat on top of that. You know, we changed things here as far as full family moves. We came up with a document that everybody had to fill out requiring five things that showed that, yes, we've made the move, plus two others. All documentation must be sent in. In San Diego this last earlier this month, I had already sent stuff to the southern section. They'd taken a look at it and have implemented. San Diego implemented it or is implementing it in September. Other sections are picking up on it. So thank you for the compliment. It is indeed much more than athletics, but you're right. The section has become a player in CIF.
We're a player.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Love it.
We got to get you on. We got to start doing the Jim Kripsel.
Well, it's
got
to be we have to plug him in and put him on the calendar always.
Yeah. If you're ever in Fresno on Thursdays or Fridays, you have an open invitation, okay? Because people want to see you. especially, and bring the cowbell with you, Jim. Thanks. Jim Critchlow.
Jim Critchlow. He did.
He's something.
He was
amazing.
The corner cowbell guy. Come on into the restaurant. Actually, was it a restaurant or the theater?
It's the outdoor theater.
The drive-in theater.
You've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break. This is the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. I do want to thank Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and all our great local sponsors. And if you want to be a part of the Rice Show and you're a local sponsor, get a hold of the Pag Meter. I'll get a hold of Daniel for you. And that's how we roll. It's a Pag Meter.
Do we
Matty
need
J.
five? Which we're okay. Yeah, we're all good.
We're good to go. No, we shut.
We don't need
down.
Five on. Why was no. five on?
Mikey Boom Boom Mancini Dupree in the house.
Mr. Dupree is in the house.
Yeah, he's in the house.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, we want to give a little love and shout out to our boy Ray Ocanto.
Yes.
Under the weather, he's not doing great right now. The voice of the Bulldogs with Paul Leffler. Ray, we're praying for you.
Yep.
Hang in there, kid. And I think if all the prayers can get going on our Rice Show on 940 ESPN, give a prayer to whatever you can right now for Ray Ocanto.
Yeah, no question. Ray has always been in your life, Nick, and so many others out there that we know in our friendship circle. Ray's been one of the guys. And he took care of me on a PowerPoint presentation. And to this day, I still get people asking me, can you come in and give that PowerPoint? And, you know, I don't think I ever really truly gave all of the credit to Ray Ocanto for his professionalism and what he was able to do in the world before anyone was really doing the high-end graphics and coming up with unique and creative ideas. What a creative man. We love Ray, and we wish him all the best for some type of good recovery.
Yeah, get this prayer thing going for 940 ESPN. I know Fashion Furniture is praying here. So, Ray, we love you. Hang in there, kid. And I hate to, you know, bring that up now after we had a great conversation.
Well, not only is he a great community member and a charismatic, great man, Ray Ocanto, but what an athlete.
Former Redwood Ranger football.
Right. Yeah.
Baseball, he played at COS, and, of course, Fresno State. He told me one story once. He was playing against Ted Tarosian, the singer, Apache stud legend.
Oh, boy, running back.
Yeah, it was just a man beast back then. And they had a picture back in the day when the Fresno Bee actually did local sports, and they had a picture of Ray and Ted Tarosian in the hole on the two-yard line, and it really looked perfect. Like Ray was in the hole, and he was going to pull a, just perfect style, head up.
Buck his tackle. Yeah.
That was what a shot, but he goes, really, though, he just ran me over, but Fresno Bee didn't get that part, but he's a great guy. And we played old man baseball together, won a World Series championship with him, and we're going to pray for him. That's what we can do.
Absolutely. And you had Boom Boom, Mr. Dupree was on that club, too?
No, he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
No, he was.
So he never played old man baseball with you?
No, he was too good. Come on. We couldn't get him out there. Come on. Come on. But I want to thank Jim Critchlow. Today, soccer on this Friday and Saturday. And I liked it. Ben Orozco's idea. He gets all the all-stars together, not just seniors, but sophomore, whoever, if you're an all-star now. Would it work? I don't know if it'd work in football. It would work in baseball and basketball. But I don't see how football you're going to...
Well, first of all, and I like that, too. I'm all for you. It might attract, as you said, more, but then again, it might not. Families are going to... If you're all seniors, families are going to go see their seniors. If 10 of the 40 members on your club are sophomores, you're still going to bring the same traffic flow in to watch the kids play. I just think that the city-county format, basketball, softball, baseball, football, it's not really broken per se. It's still a great group of people putting these games on. I just think that some of the rules, some of the things we talked about earlier in the show, can be tweaked a little bit, and we can make that experience even that much better. But the all-star thing you're talking about for soccer and having underclassmen and all that, that's a unique deal. The city county typical model broke down. This gentleman took it over and has been running it. It's been going very well.
Packed house at Lindsay.
It's soccer. Packed houses. They come out to pack houses
and
for
football
soccer.
Fans, Bob Green special, the North-South Rotary game this Saturday night at Golden Valley High School, 7:30. It's the North, which we're in the North, versus the South, which is like Merced, to Modesto Christian area.
No, we're in the south.
I'm sorry, we're the south, they're the north, but it's from Merced to Modesto,
all those schools up there competing against schools down here in Fresno, Madera, all the way down to Fresno through Clovis and all that.
I'm looking at the roster for the south, and a lot of them played in that city-county game, so they do have, and I don't know if they're all playing, you know, I see the roster, are they going to show up, I don't know, but Bob Green does a great job, because he puts a ton of players on that roster.
You know you've arrived, another one of our arrival stories, yeah. You know you've arrived when the All-Star game is not called this, it's the Bob Green All-Star, when your name... is the headline for the All-Star game, you know you've arrived. It's the Bob Green North-South All-Star game.
We are going to have a Peg Meter basketball tournament at Fresno Christian this year.
Yes.
So in January, Fresno Christian High School, we have a lot of teams show up. I'm going to get the Doghouse Grill out there, barbecue out there.
Stuff I've been talking about. I was just talking with Mark Shue, our good friend.
Who put us together, by the way.
The famous Shue family, yes. And Mark called to wish me condolences on my brother's passing, and... we started talking about, as we always do, it always goes back to the Pagni. Talk about Nick Papagni. And he was constantly thinking, everybody knows what he's – has he figured out a way to monetize this development? And I did talk about, well, we're going to do it. We do a bowling tournament now for the local high schools. He's like, what? Yeah.
For the coaches.
But we try to raise a little money for a cause. We're going to do that. First annual, we're going to be doing it here again coming up. You've got your, as you said, your all-star game basketball out at Fresno Christian. And there's things.
Well, it's not an all-star, it's just teams.
Well, good. It'll be a whatever tournament. It is. It's a tournament. Excuse me. It's like the Jesse Lujan Classic. It's just a tournament. Yeah. Those are the kinds of things. That's the next step for the PAG meter, is you need to get into that. You've already been branded now. We know we look for your rankings. We know that you've got a controversial Twitter account.
Yes,
we know
do.
You've got Instagram. We know all the good stuff you do on your website. You need to start getting the name out there and having some of those type of events. Sounds like you're doing it.
I like it. Coming up next.
Let's go.
It's the one, the only, Tony D. I want to thank, we had Larry Hines today, Alex Gutierrez, soccer on Friday and Saturday nights out at Lindsay. Should be special. And I want to thank Jim Critchlow for checking out and keeping the PAG meter updated, along with Matt Johnson. Great job again, Matt.
Great job.
Thank Fashion Furniture, Bobby Boy, Russ. Coming up next, Tony D, followed by CG. Stay on this dial. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.